both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Radio Catskills Music Yard Sale is happening right now here in our studios in Liberty, and it's going to go until 3 o'clock today, rain or shine. We've got records, CDs, cassettes, stereos, turntables, and more. It's the end of summer. We're cleaning house, so come on out, find some great deals. We also have an amazing selection of high-value vinyl, and you won't find records like these at other yard sales, so come on out to ours, the Music Yard Sale, right here at Radio Catskill, going until 3.
Radio Catskill, keeping New York voters connected this election season. October 26th is the last day to register to vote for the general election in New York State. Applications must be submitted in person, online, or by mail no later than October 26th. Election Day is November 5th. In-person early voting takes place in the 9 days prior to Election Day. And in New York, any registered voter may apply for a mail-in ballot. Radio Catskill, keeping you connected this election season.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The Bookmark, a used and rare bookstore in Jeffersonville, adjacent to Tavern on Main, specializing in literature, philosophy, the arts, local authors, gardening, and astrology. Open this Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day from 2 to 6. More information on Facebook at thebookmark.jeffersonville.ny or at the-book.com. And support comes from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
This is Radio Catskill, WJFF Jeffersonville. Listen local.
Hi, everyone. This is Greg. I have interesting friends who are always up for a good conversation about the things we should be talking about together. To learn and inform, to inspire, to make our little world a bigger place in Sullivan County, in New York State, in the United States, and around the world. It's time for Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking with Teresa Tulipano, a writer, visual artist, storyteller, teacher, and recent Sullivan County Arts Grants recipient who will be teaching workshops around the area to young writers. We're going to be talking about queer identity, what it means, how it's evolved during our lifetimes, and how not talking about it may hurt both queer and straight people alike. Now, Teresa, since you're a writer, let's start with vocabulary. What words would you use to identify yourself within this subject?
I often use the word queer, which I started adopting in the 90s as a response to the AIDS crisis. Queer folk were reclaiming the word queer, which had been a slur, actually, and we were militantly reclaiming it because there was a great battle that we had to do on behalf of people who were dying of AIDS without any response from our government or our society, really. It was really down to the, and also, sorry, preface, I was in San Francisco at the time, which I think definitely influenced how radical I felt about trying to save the lives of people who were dying in front of me.
Well, you were in an epicenter.
Yes. And I talk about this often, that I lost a whole generation of my friends. I lost an entire, like, one group of men, and some women, obviously, are just gone now. And so it changed my community forever to have such a great loss.
Well, it's all that's true. Absolutely. And I think one of the things the government didn't realize was going to happen is that by ignoring a health crisis that affected a specific group of people that they just didn't want to deal with, they were going to galvanize that community and they were going to push their agenda and their fight for rights even further past the health concern. And, you know, I always think there's an upside of something in moments like that. And I like to think that the progress we have made as a community is a way of honoring the people we lost.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. There was nothing that would have radicalized me more than seeing my friends dying. They couldn't have made up something that would have done what it did to me.
And you were in your 20s. You were in your 20s when that was going on.
Yes, exactly. So there was a lot of police brutality, I will say, in queer communities. That is definitely a part of our past. Just go to Stonewall. The Stonewall riots were started by a Black trans woman when the police were unfairly raiding the gay clubs. They would frequently come in, round up everybody in case, I mean, you and I know this, but I'm just given a little piece of the history, that the police would come in, round everybody up and beat them as they pulled them out of the club. And Miss Marsha, she was the trans woman who fought back during Stonewall. And that is why often you will hear people in the community say, Pride was a riot. The first Pride was a riot, because it literally was.
What always shocks me, and bad on me for still being naive at my age, but the majority's need to tell minorities or smaller subsets, let's get past minority as a term, sure, subset, how to be something that the majority is not.
Yes.
Just astounds me.
Yes. And this brings up intersectionality, which I think is maybe the thing that changes us the most as a community, is recognizing that there is intersectionality between like racism, economic justice, health needs, that there is a crossover that impacts all of us that are in these marginalized groups, if you want to use that word. And there is we are all linked together in that intersection. There is an intersection for all of us. And so when you talk about how people were galvanized to fight because we were losing our friends and family, also, I feel galvanized by watching brutality in the Black community and in the trans community, and knowing that I have a lot of privilege as a cisgender white presenting. I'm not actually white all the way. That's one of my identities, but I'm also Latina woman, a queer woman. You know, my freedom is linked to their freedom. Their oppression is linked to my oppression. And we have to come together, actually, I believe. Again, I want to say that this is all opinion that anyone is free to disagree with, but this is what I have learned in my lifetime.
Well, it seems fundamentally logical to me that we should not be asking for things that we are not willing to give. And I remember the first time a company I'm a co-owner of happened to hire a binary female presenting person who asked us to use the pronouns they and them. And that was the first time I had been asked to do that. And so with them, I simply acknowledged, I've been aware that this was going to happen. This is my first experience. Please know I'm probably going to screw up. And that is not intentional. It is me building a new habit. And I hope you'll understand that and constructively help me adjust as I build this new habit. And I screwed up. I screwed up several times, and they were always very kind in understanding and helping me grow. But I'm, again, always astounded when people think they have the right to tell someone how they should want to be referred to.
Correct.
If you can't expand your vocabulary or your take on it by two or three words, how rigid are you? And why fight the opportunity to grow? Because every generation is going to move the world forward. And I think one of the keys to aging well is going along for your version of the ride.
Well, I love that you're talking about this, Greg, because I actually think about this as a writer. I actually think about this a lot, the way language changes and how it moves through time and how frequently words that were once considered innocuous become slurs. And the people who still want to think of them as innocuous, it's very simple. Will it hurt someone if you say the old way? Then what's the point of doing it? Why not grow? Why not stop hurting someone and just say a different thing? And as you did, you communicated, you know, your intention, which was to absolutely be trying to learn to call this person they and them. And this is, you know, everybody slips up. Look, I use the word guys all the time. I say, you guys, and I really don't want to gender my language. I often have to say, sorry, I meant to say y'all, because it's way more inclusive. And I can't assume from everyone's appearance what they may identify as or who they may identify as. So I'd prefer to not gender people. And again, one person in the group might just feel uncomfortable being called a guy. And that's enough. I would rather not say it. And I'd rather not assume this male word is the best way to refer to all people.
It's fascinating. You know, I'm sure I've mentioned this to you, but my youngest brother is mentally challenged. And I, of course, grew up surrounded by the word retarded, which I do not let myself use anymore. And there have been times when I've had to figure out how I want to communicate that to people, that it's a word that just shuts me down. And so sometimes when it comes up now, I say, I'm not telling you how to use language. I'm just telling you, when I hear that word applied towards something that is a criticism or just a convention or a cliche, I can't listen anymore. And a little part of me dies. So use language the way you want to, but understand that's going to be the result.
That's right. I mean, people often like to say, oh, you can't say anything anymore. The thing is you can say it. You can say anything. But how will it land on the person you're saying it to? That's another question. And I guess it's easy enough to try to let things land in a way that won't be harmful or painful to anyone. I return to that notion. If it hurts one person, that's enough to not say it. I think also, you know, you bring up that word. If it's used as a slur, it's completely inappropriate, right? But I actually worked, I may have told you this too. I worked for 10 years with developmentally disabled adults. And sometimes when we'd be out in the community, we'd have to say mentally retarded because people did not understand the term developmentally disabled. They just, it was like too many syllables or something. I know that sounds crazy, but like people couldn't hear it, process it, and understand what was going on. And even that's not used as a pejorative term when it's used in that way. You know, flame retardant is allowed to be used, you know, but so it's not that. I think sometimes people think, oh, everybody is too politically correct. We can't even use language anymore. We can, but when it's appropriately used and not hurtful.
Well, speaking of hurtful, we're going to hurt the audience right now because it's time to take a quick break. But Teresa and I will be back in just a couple of minutes on Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs.
Hi, this is Jeff, your host on Radio Catskill's Electric Mountain, featuring the very best of global dance music. I play the best of dance music from back in the day to today, and every week I'll feature a guest DJ spinning a continuous set, bringing their unique style. Come dance with us on Electric Mountain, each and every Saturday night, 12 to 2, exclusively on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, matching strangers with different political beliefs to just have a conversation about their lives. Hi, I'm Judy Balaban, and I'm working on One Small Step at Radio Catskill. Help bring our community together, one conversation at a time. Go to WJFFradio.org and click on the One Small Step logo to join us.
StoryCorps' One Small Step and the radio station hubs are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Travels with Trees.
And we're back talking with Teresa Tulipano, a writer, about the consequence of vocabulary, word choice, how it informs identity for queer people and the entire population. So, you know, speaking of queer identity, something I wanted to talk to you about, because I don't understand how gay can be gender free, but lesbian is not. And there is no word that is not a slur that refers to the strictly male population of the community. What do you think of that?
So, it's very funny because I think over time, gay has become more what is referred to for males.
I agree.
That has become the de facto. But I frequently remember, again, back in San Francisco, back in the day, that women referred to themselves as gay, too. Now, this was another time. Again, we talked about how the passage of time changes the meaning of words. And so I believe this is another example of that, that gay used to be the umbrella term. And I think there's a reason for that, if I may go into a little bit of my theory. I believe that, it's indisputable that we live in a male-dominated society, and I think that even within the gay community, there's an emphasis on, frequently, at least most of my lifetime, there was an emphasis on gay men above, as a larger group, above other groups, above non-binary, above lesbians. And I think that comes back to that intersectionality again, that we're all, tied up. I've had friends ask, why do we have to have all those letters? LGBTQ plus AI, it's like too much. And I come back to, because people get to choose how they identify themselves. And it shouldn't be a big deal for any of us to honor and respect just what someone wants to be called or how they see themselves. And how you see them may not reflect how they see themselves.
Or just even the representation. I think about growing up in Wisconsin and having very little, I think the world had very little representation of the queer community, but I suspect I had even less because I was not growing up in a major population area that had a visible community. And I just think, okay, so, sometimes by the end of LGBTQIA+, my tongue's getting a little tired. I'll admit that. But I think, but what about that kid that needs that representation or that person who feels alone?
Yes. And that brings me to how suicide rates are higher among LGBTQ+ people than among straight people. And a lot of that is the pressure on them of not being represented, of feeling isolated. They're being ostracized or being bullied or being harmed, physically harmed as well. The highest rate of homelessness are queer teenagers, or I should use the whole LGBTQ+ myself. But I do abbreviate to queer, by the way, just to jump back quickly to the language thing. I definitely identify as queer because I like the idea of taking back the power of a word, not allowing someone to make that a slur, to take it back and say, no, I'll own that. You can call me queer. And I think it also connotes my broader identity. I think when I first came out in 1989, I said I was bisexual or a lesbian leaning bisexual. I was married to a woman back then. Then I married a guy later in my life. So my own identity has been a little more fluid than it has shifted. It has changed. And I get to decide that. No one gets to tell me that I have to stick to the label I first used.
Nor in 1989 were you taking responsibility for 2024, Teresa. I think the word fluid is a great word, right? I mean, sometimes we expect people to be definitive for the rest of their lives. And that is so short-sighted. I don't know who I'm going to be in 10 years.
Well, even the notion of non-binary was not really broadly known in 1989. A couple years later, I did start knowing some non-binary folk who identified in that way, but it was a completely foreign term to me. And I recently had a talk with a good friend of mine who's a gay man who's my age or around my age. And I'm 54, by the way. And he said, if I had known what non-binary was when I was a teenager, I might have actually been that instead of a gay man. But I am so set in my identity now as a gay man because I've spent most of my life calling myself that. And he said, but, you know, I used to love buying a pair of pants in the women's department. And I used to, he's like, I didn't feel like a cross dresser in any way. I felt like I wasn't exactly fully a man and I wasn't really a woman. And that's, I wish I had had that definition to call myself.
I think that's spot on. And I fundamentally think that language and how you relate to other people should be about giving them the opportunity to explore the possibilities of their lives rather than imposing limitations on them.
Yeah. Yes.
Which brings me to another question. As you say, you've been married to a woman, you've been married to a man, you've explored many parts of your identity in that area. I think that's almost the hardest thing, right? To give yourself permission to almost be a prism, right? What am I filtering? What am I revealing now? And I suspect in that way that we were talking about representation, that there are people listening out there who have had the impulse to do what you have given yourself permission to do, or feel like your friend who, you know, used to enjoy buying pants in the women's section and the world did not stop spinning. How would you advise someone who has those impulses but have not given themselves permission yet? What do you have to say to them?
I think I would say, try it on. Try on a few things. Some might stick and some might really not fit you. And it's fine to leave those behind once you've tried them. And I think maybe people who say like, being queer is a choice. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying choose to be gay or don't choose to be gay. But if you have this inkling, if there is like a thought in the back of your head that you've always been identifying as a male, you were assigned male at birth and you have identified that way your whole life, but you always really thought you'd look great in a pair of women's pants, go buy them or order them online. Try them on and enjoy it. And then you could go like, actually, it didn't really do anything for me, or it did. And then open that next door. Either way, Now, Greg, as you probably know, I've had probably, 60 jobs in my life and all of them completely disparate. And I've done many, many things. I've lived lots of places. I've sort of, I believe in walking through doors. I believe if you see a door, open it. If you don't like what's on the other side, there's another door coming right along. And that's what I would advise someone. Walk through the doors. But listen to yourself. If you don't like something, you don't have to be stuck in that place. Or if something changes.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about being stuck too, because sometimes when I feel resistance from someone about just a part of my life that I'm being open to, I'm like, well, your resistance isn't about me. It's on you to look at what you have not explored or the unresolved feelings you have about something to get on the other side of this, because you're the one feeling the negative emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me one of my sisters, who I love dearly, and she loves my husband. Before marriage was a legal option for us, I used to refer to Matt as my partner. And the first time I did it in front of her, she just had this disgusted look on her face and said, I hate it when gay people use that word that way, your partner. What does that even mean? And I took a deep breath and I just kind of rejected all that, all those years of being told I was supposed to be something other than I was. And I said, why do you think you get to have permission to define how I describe my relationship? What's going on with that? And to her credit, I saw a fog lift and my sister was able to hear that. But that's about having those conversations that are uncomfortable for both people.
Yes. Yes. I love that you're saying that. That is something that I think is so underrated in our current time, is having the discussion, the difficult discussion, the one that explains how you're feeling and how they're feeling. And, you know, I have said it so many times now in this show, it's about, who does it hurt to say that? If it is, what is the measurable? Show me how she is hurt by the word, by you using the word partner. There isn't a hurt there, but her being upset at you, that's hurtful to you. If you weigh it out, I don't see that she gets to decide, as you both discovered together. I think she came around.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons people are sometimes resistant to same gender marriage, right? It takes away the ambiguity. One of the things I love about being married is I never have to have that discussion again. Matt's my husband and we can all move on.
Well, I actually like partner. I do.
And I'm fine with you using it.
Yes, exactly. And I might not use it on your relationship. I use it for my own. I wouldn't, but that's what I mean. I wouldn't project it onto you, especially now that I know that you're happy to call him your husband. You know, I think I would introduce you as husbands if I were introducing you to friends. But I like partner because I like that it allows for other sorts of relationships to be just as valid as the notion of marriage.
Look at us using language to describe the same thing differently. I think that's been the whole point of our conversation today. Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Teresa and I, you can listen to us further September 22nd at the Narrowsburg Union, where we will be participating in Yarn Slingers, a storytelling show. Our topic will be back to school, and we may even touch on a couple of things we talked about today. Teresa, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a pleasure and interesting conversation.
Well, let's hope the audience feels the same way. Thanks for joining us on Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where are we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union, and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFRadio.org.
Radio Catskills Music Yard Sale is happening right now here at our studios in Liberty, and it's going to go until 3 o'clock today, rain or shine. We've got records, CDs, cassettes, stereos, turntables, and more. It's the end of summer. We're cleaning house, so come on out, find some great deals. We also have an amazing selection of high-value vinyl, and you won't find records like these at other yard sales, so come on out to ours, the Music Yard Sale, right here at Radio Catskill, going until 3.
Last week on Wait, Wait, Dulce Sloan took a moment to appreciate President Biden's vibe.
Yeah. Ah, baby, he had the energy of somebody who quit a job, but the job don't know yet.
I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we're heading to Minnesota to do our job, because with Tim Walz as governor, it's the dad joke capital of the world. Join us for this week's Minnesota Nice News Quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. Broadcasting from our studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. Listen local.